At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Oh, maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I don't think that women can have a connection to God without a man explaining it to her.
Some guys, like, now I'm triggered. I have goosebumps because I'm like, fully, you riled me up.
For Sneakle to say that, mm-hmm. I kind of understand him because... Yo.
I'm not going to believe you when you just say, oh, it's just allergies.
No, honestly, the allergies this season have been mm-hmm. effing me up. It's been bad. How y'all doing?
Are allergies hereditary?
My voice sounds so weird today. Oh my God. Welcome back, guys, to another episode of the Cousin
Connection Podcast.
And I might sound a little different today, okay?
And we gotta say.
What?
Before we actually start.
What?
By the time you guys are watching this.
Oh yeah.
Eid Mubarak. Where's the applause? Which one is it?
It's one of these. Nope.
Damn.
Wait, nope. There we go.
Eid Mubarak,
but yeah, so, you know, let's just say the reason for this voice is because of an accumulation of a few things that have happened in the past few days. Like, it's like small things you don't think about. Like, for my job, I take a lot of calls. There was one day where I just took a significantly high amount of calls.
Mm-hmm.
So my voice, and when you're fasting, like, that's a big no-no. Like, talking a lot really adds on to it. And I already felt it, like, my voice going. And even a couple of days before that, I was already dealing with a little bit of a sore throat. And then that was on Thursday and on Friday. No, I'm it's not that bad. Don't worry. I can't say I swear. But, like, you know, I'm pretty sure it's because I have allergies to, like, pollen. I'm allergic to pollen, I mean.
You know what? I have PTSD. What?
Why?
Really?
Oh, yeah. I might have given you, I mean, that thing a couple times.
Amir... Like, after we had a full 2-day sleepover here.
Yeah.
Like, we were...
You know what?
We were about to go home and
I feel like it was everyone's fault. Okay, you should have taken better precautions. Okay, we were not following the rules.
What do you mean? We were fine. And then, as I'm about to leave, he goes, my throat feels kind of funny. And we were like...
I don't know. I'm pretty sure I gave everybody warning ahead of time, no?
No, you told us then, and we were like, oh, you know, it's because we were playing in, like, we were playing outside.
We were all in denial.
Until you said that your head hurt, then I was like, what'd you say?
But I don't think this is the case here, okay?
Inshallah.
Yeah, and on Friday, inshallah. But on Friday, what happened on Friday? Oh, yeah, I had a presentation at work.
Oh, yeah.
And, like... For me, when I'm giving presentations, like, especially with all the information I had to provide, I was going, like, ham for, like, an hour and a half, just destroying that voice. Because, you know, I naturally project my voice.
I'm laughing because I'm like, you give me the vibe of, like, when people present, they, like, yell unintentionally.
Yeah, like you, any concert hall, you don't need mics. I could literally project my voice throughout the whole thing. You wouldn't need anything.
We can't tell when we're recording.
Yeah.
But sometimes when I take this off and I actually hear what we sound like,
yeah,
we're so loud.
We are, right?
Especially you. Like, I'm just like, dang.
Our families don't even have to watch the episode. They just hear us the whole time.
Exactly.
It's like a free podcast. They're the first customers, not customers, first viewers of our live podcast.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
But yeah, so that, the presentation, I already started, like, my throat was dry by the end of that. And, like, my lips were dry. I probably looked like a mess giving that presentation. Everybody said I did well, so I'm going to take that as a win. You know, a win is a win. And then, of course, at the end of the day, it was the 27th night of Ramadan, so we had, like, a whole...
Should we tell them about the khatimat? Like, what we do?
Oh, yeah. We have, so...
Let me look it up.
Well, as Hadaris, you know, because we're here to, you know, to share people about our culture as well, right? So as Hadaris, we have something called the Khatimat. And essentially, like, on the 27th of, is to commemorate the 27th night of Ramadan, we'll get together, read Quran, and make dua for, you know, people who have passed, people who are sick and all that. And then they'll actually make a certain type of coffee. It's not a coffee. It's like a tea. It's like a milk tea.
The hashar qahwa?
Yeah, hashar qahwa. Mm-hmm. And they'll make, what's the bread called? Siri, and it's like a sugar. Siri is the bread, right?
Siri is the bread.
Yeah, Siri is the bread. It's like a flat bread.
Butter, sugar, coffee mixture.
Yeah, and then on top of it, we put like literal, like just roasted coffee beans, like full coffee beans. Yeah, you know, when they say Ethiopia is, you know, the origin of coffee, you know, we really take it. But like, we take the coffee beans, roast them, and then you put sugar, you mix sugar with water, and you put that on top of it, and you eat that. Like, traditionally, we'll just, and you serve it to the community. And yeah, well, that's what we did last night. But because of that, we were out late. And then, like, we did that before Taraweeh, and then we prayed Taraweeh. And then after that, you know, speaking of Suhoor Fest from last week, no, we didn't go to Suhoor Fest, but like, we had our own little Suhoor hangout where we went to Eggtastic.
It's Eggstatic. Also, sorry, I was reading up. I was reading up on the Khatimat, like,
yeah.
So, in our Harari culture, we actually do the, you know, the 17th night of Ramadan, to signify the victory of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Battle of Badr.
The Battle of Badr. So what they do is actually they, it said like they read the Quran, like they complete the full Quran. So what people will do is like they'll gather in a jama'ah or like a group of friends.
Yeah.
And each one will like take a portion of the Quran that they would have read to,
oh, really?
To say that like they all completed it together.
Oh yeah, because then like I think it's like someone will read and then someone else will like continue from where they left off and continue from where they left off, no?
Yeah, and I think if I'm not mistaken, like Makhtam, like in the Gaysanad word, means to complete something, if I'm not mistaken. But I could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, we got to bring our parents on that.
Yeah, ask my dad. But
gotta go to a primary source for that, guys.
But then they also do this tradition on the 27th night in hopes of catching Laylatul Qadr. Yeah. I think you said that already, right? So sorry if I...
I didn't mention that it's in hopes of catching Laylatul Qadr, but like that is another reason why they do that. What?
But back to what you were saying. How we had our own little suhoor.
Oh yeah, party. We went to Eggstatic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that your first time?
Yeah, I've never been.
What?
What? Yeah, like I've heard about it a lot, but like anytime I've wanted to go, I've just gone to Mahaz. I honestly, I don't know if this is controversial. I prefer Mahaz. I don't know what it is. I like the vibe of Mahaz. It's really small, very homey vibe. The food has never missed for me. Like, this food was good, too. I had, like, a pulled beef sandwich.
That was good.
Like, yeah, it was good. It was good. It reminded me of, actually, another spot in Toronto called Northern Smokes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and speaking of food spots, Keith Lee's in the city. And he actually went to Sumac.
I saw.
Yeah, he went to Sumac.
And then I got so mad. I got mad because I'm like, that place is already so packed and busy.
Yeah.
Now it's just going to be even worse.
No. I feel like that place, like...
Do you think
this
he
is
has,
where,
like...
This is where the Stush City Capital or Stush Capital City... You know, what's that name that Toronto gets a lot?
Screwface City.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was like, what's this?
My bad. The Screwface City, I feel like this is where it kind of benefits us. Because I feel like a lot of Toronto people are like, eh, but like, you know, we got our own spots kind of thing. Because there's so many food spots in Toronto that like everybody who's going to know about Sumac already knows about Sumac.
Yeah, it did actually go viral on TikTok a while ago.
Maybe for tourists.
Maybe.
Yeah, because I feel like Toronto's like, people say it's like up and coming. It's already been a big spot because gentrification is definitely going to like reach Toronto, right?
Yeah.
Or Scarborough, I mean.
Yeah.
It already is like in a way.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's going to change in the next 10 to 20 years significantly.
Mm.
And like a lot of people who typically would tour to, or not tour, what do you call it? Tourists who would come to Toronto, they would usually stay in the city, right? And maybe go to like, I don't know, Vaughan if they want to go to like Wonderland or whatever, which I don't even think that's a touristy thing. Maybe it is.
I don't know.
Maybe now the other destinations like maybe Mississauga or Scarborough might become like other touristy spots that people can go to. Because first off, Scarborough, I guess I don't know if it's considered part of Scarborough, but we have the beaches, or like we have more quieter beaches. Like,
yeah.
Is Woodbine Beach part of? No, it's not part of Toronto still, right?
Yeah.
But we do have the Bluffs, and the Bluffs is also like a nice spot that tourists people can go to. Tourists can go to? Why do I call it tourist people? Whatever. I'm going to blame it on the allergies. Yeah. Oh, but speaking of that allergy, sorry, we kind of got distracted there, but a good distraction. Before the Khatimat and all that, when I first got to the Musalla and we were like, you know, just initially, I got there pretty early, so no one was there. The moment I got in, I was leaking. My nose, I don't know who was there. That's why I think this was allergies, because I was fine for the day. I had the dry throat. I was losing my voice from just like talking a lot, but I never had any like nose issues. The moment I stepped in there, my nose was leaking everywhere. Like it was embarrassing how much it was leaking so much that like I had to, people thought I was disrespecting them by not like walking up and saying hi. Like the dads were like, "You normally say hi, why don't you come and say hi?" And it was mainly because I was running back and forth between trying to set up, because I set up a lot of stuff for them, and running to the washroom so I can blow my nose. Yeah, it was bad. Eventually it went away, but it would like come in waves throughout the night.
If you're so sure that it's allergies, why don't you just be responsible and take allergy medicine?
I should. I know.
I know you don't normally take it because you kind of like, just deal with it.
I think it's also because of the fact that we're fasting.
Yeah, true.
And typically I would like go out and get that during the day, and like, yeah. I have the chance, and you don't think about that. I don't know. Maybe I'll get it tonight. We'll see.
You should. Yeah.
What?
You said you should because this week we're getting like real spring weather. Like the sun is out today.
Yeah, it's finally warm. So outside, like exciting. I went on a walk and I almost didn't take my like a running jacket. Not running jacket. What do you call it? Yeah, my windbreaker.
Didn't you learn your lesson last night?
What? Oh yeah, that was also another thing that probably added to the fact that my nose was leaking was the fact that I only wore a t-shirt. No, but wait. Okay. Before you judge me, okay, the reason that I only wore a t-shirt was because I had a jacket and a sweater in the car initially, and later in the night I was going to go and get it, but because my dad had come earlier and like left earlier, he took my car. And because he took my car, he took my clothes with him. So for the rest of the night, including like at 1 or 2 a.m. when it's like the coldest of the night and we're out for Suhoor, I had only a sweater on. I mean, a t-shirt on and like a little undershirt under that. But that's it. So, I was getting hit from all angles. Okay. But, you know, we're here. We're still alive. Alhamdulillah. Okay. I only got a couple more days left of Ramadan.
Yeah. It's kind of sad.
It's crazy how fast it went by.
Like, I was sad yesterday.
Really?
Like, it's the last Friday.
Yeah. But the weird thing is that like, I know we mentioned this last week, but it literally feels like it came last week and it's already gone.
Yeah, I know.
It's been the quickest Ramadan I've ever felt in my life.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's because it's just as you get older, there's so much more going on and you get so much more distracted. Like there's a lot more going on at work and there's a lot of other things going on in our lives. So it just adds to the time.
It's that, but I also feel like
time feel quicker.
Are we comparing it to like 2-3 years ago when we had COVID?
Maybe that's what it is too.
Like Ramadan during COVID, and we were like at home, didn't have group iftars.
Exactly.
Like every single day, you were, you know, at home, and that Ramadan felt very long.
Yeah, you know what? But honestly, I loved those Ramadans.
So did I.
Because you didn't have distractions.
Yeah.
You couldn't go out to any spots late at night. Yeah, you had a lot more time to kind of focus on the things that are important to you.
Those are some good... Ugh, now I miss that vibe. Now I'm sad. If you aren't Muslim and you haven't fasted Ramadan before, like you may not actually understand or be able to relate to what we're saying, but think of it this way. For Muslims, Ramadan is that time of the year where... You know, when your heart aches and you're in dire need of that spirituality and that connection to God and your religion, Ramadan just happens to come around like the most perfect time of the year every single time.
Yeah.
And so your heart just feels at ease. Like you just feel comforted. You feel a lot more spiritual than you normally do. You really push yourself and try to create habits that you don't normally do with the hopes that inshallah you kind of keep those habits going forward even outside of the month.
Yeah.
So like that's why to us it means so much.
Yeah, and I feel like even back then it was easier to keep those habits because not much changed before or after. Like you were stuck in the house before Ramadan, you were stuck in the house during Ramadan, you were stuck in the house after Ramadan.
That's very true.
So like whatever habits you built during Ramadan, like it's not like there's any added distractions that could happen after Ramadan. Like, you're right. No one's going to be still meeting up. Like, you're not going to be going out for food spots as often or doing things or events and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So, but, you know, every challenge or, like, every struggle you're faced with is, like, an opportunity for you to gain reward from it, right? Because, like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, the fact that you chose to do good, or at least you tried to do better, even when you're faced with, like, some type of struggle, that's rewardable in itself. So,
yeah,
I think that's another, like, a silver lining of this whole situation.
Yeah, no, definitely. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, as sad as we are, we can only, like, you know, make dua that mm-hmm. we get to see another Ramadan next year.
Yeah, inshallah.
If you're watching this while you're having your iftar or suhoor, take a drink of water every time you said Ramadan.
That won't be
the case. Just kidding. It's going to be.
Literally, this is coming out either 1 or 2 days after Ramadan. Yeah. Hopefully, I actually have time to edit it too, because all things going on.
I mean, we're recording a day earlier than usual, so maybe.
Professionals spend nearly half the work week on written communication, so focus is important. With Grammarly as your AI writing partner, focus and quickly get through work with relevant real-time suggestions. And it works across 500,000 apps and websites, so you can sound more confident and persuasive wherever you write. 93% of professionals report that Grammarly helps them get more work done. Download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in / promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
This just in, Planet Fitness has added new strength equipment. Save $28 or more when you join today, and you can be one of the first to try it out. We're raising the bar with new benches, and our new hack squat will have you actually looking forward to leg day. Plus, we're still repping all of the best-in-class equipment we've always had. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month, cancel anytime.
Deal extended till January 17th.
See Home Club for details.
We will.
Oh, yeah, we are. I forgot what day it was. Shoot. Yeah. I don't know why. Yesterday
felt like Saturday.
Did it not?
Yeah, I got that. Even though we were at work.
Yeah.
Yeah, I felt that vibe,
like,
too.
It literally felt like a different day. And technically, because it was later in the night.
Yeah.
It was, but, like, I think it's because we spent so much time. And, like, there were so many things that we did that night. And then the fact that we went out afterwards is all that came together. And, like, also because... Aisha is also in town.
Yeah.
Like, all of that all together with the whole family being together, like, just the vibes in general made it seem like it was a weekend in itself.
Yeah.
Because we did a lot. But, today we think we'll feel a little bit more chill.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. But, we'll see. And, you know, oh, my God. I know, I'm good. You know when you get, like, a little bit of, like, phlegm?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's all it was. Don't worry about it, okay? In other news. What do you call it again? Oh, and one thing I actually wanted to mention is that, like, I feel like because of how quick Ramadan was this time, getting back to, like, normal business won't feel as hard. Because back in the day, I don't know what, maybe this is just me personally, but whenever Ramadan happened, like, because it was such a change in lifestyle,
mm-hmm.
it felt like coming back to, like, your normal life of, like, you know, eating during the day and getting used to that.
Yeah.
It won't feel as... not drastic. What when something I hate you hard, jarring. It won't feel as jarring as it used to. Or maybe that's just a factor of, like, the fact that you're getting used to it. You're getting older. You've done it so many times now that you kind of get used to the routine of getting back into it.
Yeah, but also if you're a girl, you're kind of used to the switching.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Forgot about anatomy.
I think it hits you guys more.
Huh?
It hits you guys more because you're fasting a 30-day straight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But then there's also, like, there's Shawwalid as well. So, like, you know, after Ramadan, there's a few days after that. You know, I don't always do it, but, you know, maybe this year I'll do it. Okay.
You might as well. If your body's already used to the fasting.
Yeah,
you know?
But everybody's saying that I look like I got smaller or something.
I know.
Did I?
I don't even know. I wasn't Can near y'all tell? You yesterday, but, like, I overheard someone saying that to you.
Yeah.
And I heard the heartbreak in your voice. You're like,
I was like... Did I? I've been eating all the same food. I've been still going to the gym. Not maybe not as often, but still.
It's because you wore like a more form-fitting t-shirt yesterday. Mm-hmm. And usually you wear like sweaters. So maybe that's why.
Yeah, that's what it was. And the thing is, I didn't even mean to wear that. Like, I didn't realize because that t-shirt, I hadn't worn it in so long that I've gotten bigger since then.
It was pretty tight. Yeah, it was pretty tight. What you trying to do?
That's the thing. And it also had the undershirt under it. Mm. And I usually don't wear an undershirt with that shirt. So maybe like the combination of that. Maybe. that's why I wanted to go and change to the sweater as well. But yeah, whatever, you know. Hindsight's 2020, whatever.
It is what it is. It's yeah. Okay.
And, but yeah, so, you know, inshallah, all of you guys had a successful Ramadan this year.
Yeah.
And we'll make the most of it. And we'll be able to do the same next year, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mm-hmm. And maybe next year we'll have an even better, hopefully we will have a better Ramadan series, maybe with some guests.
Oh, yes.
Or
yeah.
Something.
We got to start producing a little more.
We'll plan it out months in advance.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll save it for next year, inshallah.
Mm-hmm. Inshallah. But in more important news, mm-hmm. A big thing that happened this year, you know, we like to give updates on what's happening in Gaza and in Palestine in general. And this week, the biggest news, of course, was what happened to the World Food Kitchen workers.
Yeah.
Where they were traveling in clearly marked vehicles from southern to northern Gaza to feed the people there who are currently going through a famine, basically. And there were all three vehicles had direct strikes done to them, unaliving all seven of the foreign aid workers.
Yeah.
And I think that foreign word is probably the reason that it's been the biggest story or the biggest headline currently in all news agencies, because everyone knows that, for the most part, all these news, mainstream news agencies don't really care about Palestinian people or any people of minorities in general. But the fact that this was a very clear strike on international aid workers who were actually working with the IOF or the IDF or whatever, and gave them their routes, told them exactly where they're going. Mm-hmm. And actually, this was the only food aiding agency that was approved by the Is Not Real government. So, like, literally, there is no excuse for why this happened.
Right.
They try to come excuse, say you made a mistake, but like, how many other mistakes have they made already at this point? Quote unquote mistakes that they made at this point. And it's so, like, you even when you see the vehicles, when you see the pictures of the vehicles, there's literally a hole. You could not get more direct with how precise these strikes were.
Right.
It was directly like into, I think, like the passenger seat of the vehicle, a direct hole into it. It's not like they hit the ground around it and the vehicle flipped. They hit them directly. And the series of events shows us more how intentional this was, because I believe there is three separate strikes, but they happen in sequence. So like they were driving in three vehicles, I believe. The first one in the back got hit. Then the people who survived from that one came out and started. They tried to save whoever was there. They ran to the next vehicle. That next vehicle was hit. And this is all taking place within a span of like 3 kilometers. And then they got out of the second vehicle. Whoever survived from that one ran to the third vehicle. And that was where they eventually unalived everyone who was part of that
the group
convoy.
Yeah,
basically. And these were armored vehicles too, so they like there's no excuse for this. And now even the people who were who were trying to make excuses or are very pro these Not Real side, even they are trying to like rationalize how this could have happened. And they have no answers.
I was surprised to see Trudeau speaking up against or not speaking up against, but like just calling out the fact that one of the volunteers was a Canadian. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting because you're only willing to speak up because it's a Canadian mm-hmm. life. But what about all the Palestinian lives?
Yeah.
What about all the Canadians who have Palestinian family members mm-hmm. who are either displaced, who have been unalived, who are being tortured currently? Like, mm-hmm. it's very interesting.
And also, it's like there are also Canadian, like actual Canadian citizens who are still stuck in Rafah or like in Gaza in general.
Mm-hmm.
So the fact they don't even, speak out about that alone. And that's been happening since October 7th, right? But now the moment that, basically a white person.
Yeah.
Or a person who, basically a white person is killed in this. Mm-hmm. That's when they start speaking up and start saying, this is not right. And like, they of course, we told them, when we mentioned earlier how they already called for a ceasefire. But like, now it's like they're using more direct, like, condemnations towards that government.
Yeah.
Right. So it's very clear, like, what, 35,000 was not enough for them to start speaking up. They had to, 7 more people.
Yeah.
That's when they start speaking up. And just because of who those people were.
Sometimes, like, even if something is so blatantly clear to some of us, it takes, like, more than you holding up a mirror to show them, like, look, this is what the truth actually is. I don't know. Sometimes
because
you just...
It also exposes the fact that they do know what the truth is, right?
Of course they do.
But now they're getting probably pressure from these organizations who are losing their members, because the guy who owns that organization, he actually came out and directly said that they intentionally did this.
Yeah.
They did this, and people are like, why would they do this? Like, people who are trying to defend, they're like, why would they do this? This doesn't make any sense. And people, they try to say this conspiracy, but no, it's clear that they did this because they want to discourage any people from giving aid to the
Palestinians,
right?
They never wanted them.
And they're using
them
food
get...
as a weapon of war, essentially. What did you say?
I was just gonna say they never wanted them to get the aid. They never wanted them to get the food, the healthcare, the supplies that they need. They, any time they would kind of pretend and play along.
Yeah.
Even if they allowed one or two trucks in that had the food, they would then just, like, can we use the bomb?
AKA the flour massacre.
Yeah, like they would just. It doesn't make any sense. And for anyone that's trying to defend it at this point, like, at this point, you're just supporting genocide. Like, it is what it is. And it's very unfortunate. I feel like there's still a lot of momentum, but then there are also people that are, like, you know, kind of reaching that, well, what are we going to do?
Yeah, the exhaustion stage where they're like, how much more can we do?
Yeah. And, you know, don't give up. It's still, by the time you're listening to this, it's after Ramadan, but... Continue to make your dua. Who's to say that your dua doesn't get answered outside of Ramadan, right? You never know.
Yeah.
So just continue to pray for a free Palestine one day.
Yeah, inshallah, they will be free. Yeah. But this is like, even with a free Palestine, like, someone has to answer for all these things that are going on, right? Like, it's, I don't know what the solution is going to be in that, because... if they want that solution, they're at least a West quote unquote solution is to have a two-state solution.
Yes, I know what you're talking about, but I don't know if that's the word. It might be.
Yeah, a two-state solution, or maybe make it one state. I'm not sure exactly. I think they've been changing their tone recently, but like, how, I don't know how these people are going to be able to even live next to people who have intentionally done these things, right? Especially with the stories coming out of the mentality of a lot of these soldiers who are going into the soldiers are sending in and coming out, like, their mentality, just from the videos you're seeing of them speaking about how they view these Palestinian people, right? They don't even view them as human.
They don't. It's a game to them. A lot of them are like, and they look, these soldiers look so young, and when they're smiling and saying like, yeah, I did this, and I'm just like, wow, you're sick in the head.
Yeah, there's I think there was actually a TikToker that I've seen.
You've
seen him, right? Like, he'll first get them in by being like super like positive, be like, oh my God. Like, he speaks exactly. He's like, oh my God, I can't believe you guys are like fighting out there. Like, what's going on? Can you like give us some details on what's this? And then when they start speaking about how they're what they're doing to the Palestinian people, he starts like turning up. It's like, wow, you must have felt really great about that, right? And they'll actually say, yeah, we loved it, blah blah blah, like, and then eventually he turns on them, and then it turns into like a little argument, and then usually on the other end the soldiers will just cut off the video film. They're like, ah, no, we got bamboozled, right?
Yeah,
right?
That's true.
But he's thankfully like exposing the mentality of a lot of these people who are in the streets, and it's horrible. Every day the stories you're hearing about what's going on, it gets, you don't think it can get worse, and it gets even worse.
I know.
So it's disheartening to hear that. But again, the Palestinian people themselves are also the most resilient people I've ever seen in my life. So that's, unfortunately, they're kind of being faced with this, but they're also the best examples of how you hold on to your faith, even in like the most dire of times. And which is going back to how we mentioned, like, there's a lot of people who are seeing this and turning to Islam for that.
Yeah. And I'm sure you saw the mm-hmm. videos and pictures by now, but on the 27th night, mm-hmm. they were at the Dome of the Rock in the Aqsa compound.
Yeah.
I think it was something like 200,000 people praying mm-hmm. Tarawih. Like, I was like, wow, like the fact that they're still showing up, like, nothing is going to stop them, which is, mashallah, just like very beautiful to see. And like, the fact that they were making dua in unison, like, it was just so beautiful.
Yeah, it was very beautiful. So inshallah, we'll see a free Palestine.
Inshallah, and, ya Rab.
Ya Rab. And I hope this is the last time we have to give some negative news that's going on. Because unfortunately, because of that, the aid workers, that aid agency left, essentially, right? Yeah. Which essentially they got their win. Mm-hmm. Israel got their win in that case. And a lot of other agencies are kind of like being a lot more cautious now, right?
Yeah.
So, this is maybe just a step back where, like, that one step back you take to take two steps forward.
Mm.
Yeah. So, because there's a lot more eyes on this now.
Yeah.
And even though it took this long, we may see a resolution sooner rather than later.
Inshallah.
Inshallah.
Yeah.
Okay. So, in other news, I want to clear up some opinions. I wanted to clear up some opinions from last week's episode.
Right.
We got a lot of, you know, replies from it. Some people were kind of giving a little bit of pushback, specifically on the comment I made in regards to one TikToker who said that, like, the things that are happening in one part of the world, like maybe the sins of people that are happening in one part of the world are directly correlated to the punishments that are currently, or not punishments, but the things that are happening to people in the other part of the world, like negative things, like what's happening to the people in Gaza is directly related to the Suhoor Fest, in this case specifically, right? And he was making that connection with no real, like, reference or, like, backing in any way. And it was refuted by a lot of people. But, like, when I mentioned that extremism was kind of growing online, it's more like extremist takes. Like, I didn't think that he himself is an extremist.
Yeah, the opinion that he
shared. But the opinion that he shared, in my opinion, because it's still my opinion, was extreme.
Yeah.
And to give other examples of things that you might agree with more, the people who gave me that pushback, is like when people started saying to wear, like, a jacket under your abaya.
Yeah.
That's extreme. That would be an extremist thing to say, or extreme thing to say.
Yeah, I actually responded to a couple of the comments. I think sometimes when you either are watching the clips that we make on TikTok or Instagram with no other context, you just watch that little bit, you think you might know the full context of what we're talking about, but usually you don't. And then people are quick to make that judgment. But we make these clips with that in mind.
Yeah.
And so we're also prepared to further explain if needed. And so I responded to a lot of the comments. And, you know, one of the comments that had the issue with you using the term extremism said that there's already such a negative connotation around that word in relation to Muslims. And so I
think that's why I understand why they thought that.
Yeah. And so I had to clarify. I was like, first of all, like, Amir's intention behind using the word extremism has nothing to do with the connotation that the West has put on the word extremism in relation to Muslims.
Exactly.
You know, so I had to clarify that. She actually understood and was like, okay, you know what? That makes sense.
Yeah, I saw that. But just generally for people who thought that I was calling them extremists.
Yeah.
It's more of certain opinions that they're giving out are extreme. Like I mentioned the abaya under the jacket under the abaya, or even the one, I don't know if we mentioned that one, but like where the backpacks should be also worn under the abaya.
Well, I never saw that.
That was also another opinion. They said that because when you're wearing a backpack, it shows the shape of your body.
Okay, and then wearing it under your abaya is only going to make it tighter.
no, but like it'll take it away from, you know, the certain parts, which completely negates the fact that in general, men should be lowering their gaze. Yeah. Right? How you speak about these things, like we mentioned last time, requires a lot of wisdom, right?
Mm.
And when you ask them for the sources of where they're getting this information, a lot of the times they're taking whatever that scholar or whatever said out of context.
Yeah.
And they're taking it in the most least charitable way possible. and using that against women. Because unfortunately, like we mentioned before, there's a lot of connections between the red pill community and the current like male Muslim influencer online discourse. Mm. You know, that very specific niche.
Yeah.
A lot of the topics that they speak about are usually directed towards either women or relationships with women.
Do you think they do that because they know that it's a controversial topic and it's going to get a lot of attention, whether positive or negative? Or do you think they really believe in that?
It gets the views. Maybe the person in their mind has rationalized it, saying that they believe they're doing it for the benefit of the community. But when you see certain numbers go up, like, your mind can rationalize anything. Mm. If you see your pockets being filled a lot more, your mind can start rationalizing that what you're doing. Like they say, what's that saying again? The road to hell is paved with good intentions. Mm. And a lot of the online reactions that you're seeing, a lot of the online opinions that you're seeing are like the best examples of that, right? I'm not saying that they're going to go to hell, even though a lot of the times in a lot of some of the videos that I've seen of these people who are very opinionated and give these type of opinions towards either women or just people, Muslims in general, are telling them that you are going to hell for this.
Yeah, they
like, who are you first off to say that? Like, you can say that the judgment for a person who's done this and continues to do this is that. But if you say this person is definitely going to hell or is going to hell, that's, in my opinion, that's another part of extremism or extremism that's going online, an extreme opinion.
That's the thing, though. Like, people can have extremist ideologies and views. Mm-hmm. What makes them an extremist is like when they actually act upon it.
Exactly.
Yeah. So there's a difference for any of y'all that are confused. Mm-hmm. You can live your day-to-day life, but have these thoughts in your mind and then never act on it. I wouldn't say that you're an extremist in that way. Mm-hmm. I would just say you have extremist ideologies. The minute you act on it, though, and you're like, oh,
you start forcing people to do those things, yeah,
then that's a whole other ballgame.
Exactly. And I think another thing that's related to another topic I was going to speak about is like platforming. When I speak about red pill, it's like platforming other red pill people in the red pill community. So like an example of that would be like, actually, you know what? Maybe I sort of see what they're trying to do in this case. But recently there was actually,
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I've spoken about them, Fresh and Fit.
Yeah.
Do you know Muhammad Hijab?
Yeah.
He's very popular online these days. He's been growing his popularity recently a lot because originally he like became very popular for his debates on like Speaker's Corner. And now he's been going on other podcasts, who both Muslim and non-Muslim podcasts. And essentially he's doing a good thing by trying to spread the da'wah. Or
he's spreading the knowledge.
Spreading the knowledge mm-hmm. of Islam to an audience that might not know anything about Islam, right? So that's actually a good thing. But he actually went on Fresh and Fit recently. And where I disagree sometimes is where they say that I agree with some of your opinions. When they start saying like I agree with some of your opinions, but they have to be very careful when they say that, in my opinion. Of course, I'm saying all this is my opinion, is that they have to, when they say that, be very specific
with what
you agree with, because someone could quickly take that out of context.
Yeah.
They might like when we make clips. If you don't have the whole context, mm-hmm. like it can make someone sound like a villain or a hero. It can make you sound like an extremist and someone who's pretty moderate or very
liberal.
So context is everything.
For sure.
Yeah. So just be very specific when you mention these things, right? And even if you are, there are people who are going to take you out of context, but it's harder to do that if you just make sure to be very careful with how you try and like give an olive branch to someone you may not agree with totally.
You know, there's like an art to doing that, though, mm-hmm. because you can, it's like, what's that guy that you like, the bald guy?
Who?
Joe Rogan.
Oh, yeah. You know, recently I haven't been the biggest fan of him, but yeah.
Right. But like, you know, when you've talked about his podcast before, you usually say he invites people from all walks of life, even if he doesn't necessarily agree with their views, ideologies, their views. Like, he just wants to kind of like hear
have
what
a conversation,
they.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so even if that was the case for us, where we invited someone who is totally not our vibe, not our demographic, but for some reason we wanted to give them the space to say what they have to say. We can have that conversation and still agree to disagree and say, you know what, like, those are your beliefs. That's on you. We don't believe that, but we were willing to have this conversation with you, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And it's important to challenge, like, if you're going to bring them on, make sure you have your points like down pat.
Yeah.
Because if someone is very like, if they have an opinion they don't agree with, but they also have like very good counterpoints, at least in their eyes, or at least to the public, it might seem like very good counterpoints to essentially make you sound like the person who has the wrong opinion in that case, then you may actually start exposing your audience to someone that you don't agree with, and they might actually follow them instead, right? Because someone can have a bad opinion, but if they're really good, or not opinion, but yeah, a bad opinion, but if they're really good at debating that opinion, and you may have a very good, or like the true opinion, or like the truth, you might have the truth, but if you're not good at debating that truth, and like you have all the points for why they might be wrong, a person who's really good at debating may actually make you look like the wrong person who's actually speaking falsehood in that case. So that is, it's a very,
they always say it's always how you say it. Like, if you convey your message with confidence and not a place from defense, like you're confident and you're calm when you're explaining what you're explaining, that usually resonates with people more than if you were on the defense from the jump and you're just like, well, no, and then you're combative, and it's just, it ain't a good look, honey.
Exactly. So that's been a big thing, and like I mentioned, there's actually recently, when I'm speaking about red pillars in general, so I think I've spoken about him before, but do you know a guy named Sneeko?
Yeah, I've heard of him.
Yeah, he's actually, alhamdulillah, he's someone who was,
he embraced Islam,
yeah,
right?
He embraced Islam recently,
yeah,
or actually he embraced Islam maybe last year, but he's been going on this, like, he's been documenting his journey online of him kind of like exploring, finding out more about Islam and like connecting with different Muslim influencers and trying to gain as much knowledge as he can. Of course, there are certain people he speaks to that I completely don't agree with. Like, because recently he actually interviewed, do you know Faris Hamidi? The guy who's very pro, okay, maybe it's harsh to say pro is not real, but like, essentially is, because he's saying like, don't boycott, essentially. He's the guy who said that.
Yeah.
He interviewed him. And I feel like that's kind of dangerous. You know, anyone can do whatever they want. They're adults. But, like, it's dangerous because this person, who he doesn't have as much knowledge. He's still very, like, to the point where he was recently asked, do you know what Al-Aqsa is? And he didn't know what Al-Aqsa was, right? So he's very new to a lot of this, right? So I hope that the people who are guiding him and, like, connecting into these people are also telling them, like, okay, here are the counterpoints to why they're wrong in these cases and stuff, and like, he's getting some good guidance from someone, because right now it seems like he's kind of doing this all alone, and that can be very dangerous, because that can also lead to extremism in a way.
Yeah.
So, or even someone to eventually seeing like all the contradictions.
Yeah.
And
it could turn him away from
Islam. Turn him away from Islam. They're not real contradictions, because they're just someone's giving him improper information, essentially, right?
Yeah.
So that can be very dangerous. But recently, to show how much he still has to learn, he came out with a comment. I actually want to have you watch the video. Let me see if I can pull it up here.
Okay.
I don't think that women can have a connection to God without a man explaining it to her. I don't.
Well, you had the man who's the Prophet Muhammad so explaining it to
you. Yeah, like, would a woman really pick up the Quran and take her Shahada on her own ever?
Okay, so that's the clip that was went around in this, and then another TikToker replied to that clip, but essentially he was just saying that, like, well, you saw the video. I'm going to put it up here anyways. But what's your initial reaction to that comment?
Did you not see my face?
Yeah. I think your face said a lot. Yeah. Yeah, so
that opinion alone screams red pill.
It does.
What's the term? Red pill community?
Red pill logic, or
Yeah, like, listen, at the end of the day, we will always show, Muslims will always show gratitude, thankfulness, and love to our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Without his guidance, man or woman, none of us would be here, if you really think about it. And that's all because Allah willed for us to be under his ummah, the best, the best of all creations. Like, people, some guys, like, now I'm triggered. I have goosebumps because I'm like, fully, you riled me up. I just, it makes me upset because they are, I know exactly the type of mentality they have. They're using the fact that the Prophet was a man and the fact that the, because he was a man and he guided everyone, guided his ummah to Islam and the fact that, you know, 1400 plus years later Islam is one of the fastest growing religions with like over 2 billion people in the world. And because the Prophet was a man, he's like, oh yeah, women wouldn't be able to understand Islam. You wouldn't have been able to understand Islam either, bro. Like, what do you mean?
But the reason that you are coming to that opinion is because you probably saw it in the video, but this is actually a video, the clip taken out of a podcast that Ali Da'wa puts together. And he, and he, him, it was Ali Da'wa on that podcast, Muhammad Hijab. And there's another guy from LA. I'm not, I forget his name, but he's like a preacher, a Muslim. He spreads Da'wa in LA and tries to convert people in America. And
does he with that mentality?
What?
Does he with that mentality? Like, whoever is that guy is trying
No, that's not Seiko. There's another guy that you didn't see. They're on the other side. You didn't see them in the clip itself.
Okay, yeah.
So I, when I first saw that, because nowadays, especially after some recent reactions that I've had, I'm like, you know what? Let me start watching the full context. Because like we mentioned earlier, things can be taken out of context from the video, right?
I guess.
So,
sure.
And like Ali Da'wa and Muhammad Hijab are like very popular and have a lot of like respect online for the Muslim community.
Do they?
Okay. Like
from, I don't know anymore.
They have a lot of influence, sorry, in the Muslim community, in the online Muslim discourse.
Debatable, but okay.
Okay. But. Okay, so because they have large followings, pretty large followings. But so I was like, okay, I have to watch the full clip. I have to watch the full, not episode, but that section of it, right? To see exactly what the reaction was. Because sure, for Sneeko to say that, I kind of understand him because he's coming from, he was very like red pill brained, right? So for him to still have some of these opinions, that's expected in a way. But now I wanted to see what the reaction to that was, right? So initially in the clip you kind of see that Muhammad Hijab replies like, oh yeah, if you mean in the context that like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought Islam to the ummah, right? So technically it would be both men and women would have been guided without him, right? But when I watched the full clip, the guys, when they heard him say that, they were first initially confused. They tried to like rationalize it in a way, being like, try to give him the most charitable
the benefit of the doubt.
The benefit of the doubt of how what he's saying there. But he kind of doubles down on it, right? Because they're saying, oh, yeah, you mean like from the Prophet Muhammad's perspective, or the prophets, all of them were men? You mean from that perspective? And he's like, no, I mean like,
he's insulting women's intelligence. Or the, he's essentially saying that
like women only would convert if it was to pursue a man, essentially. And like, because initially before that conversation, they were speaking about like getting married, like marriage and that topic in general, and how Sneeko, because he comes from a very, he comes from Miami, right? And he's interacting with a lot of women who are not Muslim. And when he's pursuing them, they'll be like, oh yeah, well, totally, I'll totally convert to Islam for you. And that's like the mentality that he's had, because all the women that he's interacted with have told him that. So he's just assumed that all women are like that. Like they are very floozy with their, not floozy, like they're very loose with their faith, and they're like willing to change faith for a man. So that's the context, that that's the decision, the anecdotal evidence he's using to come up with that opinion. And Ali Da'wa eventually was like, yeah, you know, like, oh, you mean like, yeah. And then he starts speaking about how like that's why men are allowed to marry like women of other faiths, because they have so much influence in the religion of the home, I guess. So even though they are marrying, maybe they can marry Jewish or Christian women or people of the book, the context, or not the context, but the like underlying context of that is that like eventually you might convince them to convert to Islam by marrying them, and that's like a benefit to the ummah in general. And but then Sneeko just doubles down eventually, or sort of changes a little bit of his tone and says, like, yeah, you know, like, whenever women are trying to learn about Islam, they usually go to, like, a sheikh or, like, some type of scholar who's most likely a male. Completely, like, discrediting the fact that there are a lot of sheikhs as well. And, like...
some of the most influential Muslims in mm-hmm. Islamic history are women.
Yeah, exactly.
What about all the wives of the Prophet?
Exactly, like, right? So...
okay.
So... they tried to be as charitable, but you could still see. I wish that they gave him more pushback, but they're being charitable. And eventually they kind of like tried to switch it to another topic because they realized how bad that sounded. At least in my opinion, I believe they realized how bad that sounded and kind of tried to push on this to another subject.
Yeah, I don't know if I agree with them acting that way is considered charitable. I think, mm-hmm. you know, when you're dealing with new Muslims who they've gone their entire life mm-hmm. believing or maybe learning ideologies that were not Islamic.
Yeah.
One of the first things after they've become Muslim that you really should focus on are like traits of wisdom mm-hmm. and, you know, knowing when to speak and share certain opinions.
Yeah.
Just because you have an opinion does not mean you have to share it.
But this also goes back to the thing of like platforming people. I feel like it's okay. Maybe you platform these people, but you have to be very prepared to like push back really hard when they yeah. say things that are very inflammatory like that or very wrong like that.
And I don't know the level of knowledge that Muhammad Hijab mm-hmm. or Ali Dawa have. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know how much knowledge they have.
Yeah, because I believe Ali Dawa is also a convert. Like, he's converted to Islam as well.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. He has a whole story about like how he converted. He converted pretty... like in his 20s or like 18, like when he's a little older. Yeah.
Okay. But like my thing is that if you're going to invite people like that on your platform mm-hmm. where, you know, you're pretty much broadcasting it to whoever wants to watch.
Yeah.
Like you said, like be prepared to actually have the correct points and mm-hmm. correct them. But like also, is that what you want? Like, is that what Sneeko wants? Like, does he mm-hmm. want to be debating these types of things online? Like you should... in general, mm-hmm. when you're dealing with a new Muslim, you should always have more mercy on them than you would... like, you should have mercy on Muslims mm-hmm. in general. But when it's someone that's new mm-hmm. and they're sharing their opinions, sometimes they genuinely just don't know and they think it's like this because of what they may have seen or come mm-hmm. across without any context, right?
Yeah.
But if they're just going to give him this platform, he says what he wants to say, and then they're too afraid to, like...
but I think it's like... they're doing a calculation in their head. They're like, because Sneeko comes to his own large platform, right?
Yeah.
So they're doing maybe the calculation in their head of being like, okay, we can, if we have him on, even though he's still a new Muslim and still learning and like he could say things wrong here and there, by having him on our platform, we can at least influence the people that are following him. And they see, when they do that calculation in their head, they're like, it's worth that maybe the backlash we might get, because in their eyes, it will at least... introduce more people to Islam and maybe convert more people.
They're not going
I'm not saying that they're wrong. I'm not saying that they're right, but
they're just not going about it. And like, if you're trying to actually bring people to Islam, there are so many better ways of doing it.
Yeah.
Maybe, who knows? I could be wrong. And maybe when the camera switched off, they actually had a very meaningful heart to heart with him and explained Islam in the way that it should be. Mm-hmm. But
that should, I my personal belief is that they should do a lot of work on him, like for teaching him.
If they genuinely loved him for the sake of Allah,
they
would do this.
They wouldn't they wouldn't put him online like this.
I agree.
Basically to be not eaten alive by like the audience.
Yeah.
Like that's a saying, I believe. Yeah. So
yeah.
it can be very dangerous to have someone like that online, and they should be a lot more careful and maybe a little more protective. Like, teach him first before bringing him online like that.
Right.
So that was something I saw online. I want to hear what you guys have to, your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, like, do you guys watch Muhammad Hijab or Ali Dawa or Sneeko? Like, if you guys are fans or maybe not fans, but you've seen some of their content before. I actually have never watched a full episode. Maybe I should.
Me neither. I haven't watched a full episode, but I watch clips, like full clips. Usually whenever I see a clip, I'll go and watch the full thing just to see what the context is.
Mm-hmm. If you guys do happen to watch it and you have opinions on it, please share with us, because I don't know, Amir triggered me.
I feel like they're really big in the UK, so if there are any UK listeners, maybe give us some insight. Like, are these guys really big in the UK? Because I have a feeling that they're bigger in the UK than they are in
North America
in general.
Yeah.
So let us know. Okay. Yeah. So before we end the podcast, I wanted to actually respond to some comments from two episodes ago. Responded to generally what the comments were from last week's episode.
Yeah.
I forgot to take screenshots for last week's episode, so I'll do that for next episode. But in regards to last week's episode, we had some pretty long comments. So, yeah, I'm gonna these people took the time to write these down, so I'm going to take the time to read it out for you guys because I think that's important to, you know, showcase our audience as well. So this first one that I have is from... Oh my God, I'm going to butcher this.
Let me see the name.
Nadinan Asani Asina. Okay, can you tell me?
Nadina.
I'm sorry. There's Nadina. There's so many A and N's here, okay?
There
Nadina Nanisena. Oh my God. 5316. I'm sorry, okay? But
which episode she, is that on?
Or he wrote, Nadine, she, I'm going to say it's she. She wrote, love the podcast as usual. As usual, barakallahu fikum. I did want to mention, I think as general, Muslims in the West, we've really glorified the living in Khaliji country, what living in a Khaliji country is like. So I think that she means by like any Muslim country. Like, we've glorified that in our eyes. And I feel like we have, in a way. Like, there's probably certain things that we just aren't aware of. And when we go there, you'd be like, oh, shoot, this is not what I thought it was like. And then she continued to write, say, she said, my mom was born and raised in Qatar and now lives in Texas. And a bunch of my Texan friends now live in the UAE. I have some Qatari friends who are now settled in Texas. And though Muslim... Oh, sorry. And although Muslim-majority countries def have the convenience factor because everything adjusts to Ramadan, my mom and my friends have mentioned how different the spirituality aspect is, especially if you don't speak Arabic.
Mm.
And I never thought about that.
Me neither.
If you don't speak Arabic, like, a lot of the lectures are probably spoken in Arabic.
Yeah.
A lot of the, like...
But it's like that, regardless, like, wherever lessons, Muslim country that you're in, like...
Mm-hmm.
I've had that happen to me in Ethiopia.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
Like, you
right?
go there and they're giving their khutbas or lessons in Amharic, and I'm
you
just
don't
like,
understand. Yeah, so that can also affect your spirituality because you're like, you feel no connection there because you're like, what are they saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then also she wrote the lectures, qiyamas, suhoor events, the international community with masjid iftars all really give a different experience. Amir mentioned when winter fasts all may feel different because they're not as hard and we might not reap the spiritual benefit. I feel kind of the same with living in Western country while fasting.
Mm.
No, it's not built for us. And yes, I'm fighting for my life. I'm fighting for my life every single day, trying not to get fired because of all my naps. But alhamdulillah, there's so much reward in the extra struggle. That's also something you have to think about,
good
right?
reminder,
because
yeah.
you're in a place where things are not catered towards you. That mm-hmm. struggle in itself is rewardable,
mm-hmm.
right? So, also, we want to be able to take habits and lessons from Ramadan and apply it throughout the year. And this is also another good point.
Mm-hmm.
If you just go to a different country where everything's centered to your needs, cater to your needs, and then come back to the U.S. after Ramadan, personally, I feel like the struggle, you'll struggle. I feel like I'd struggle with more figuring out how I can fit my Ramadan habits into my regular life. So that's another thing we never thought about. Because if you go to a place where everything's catered for you, you don't build those habits in a place where you're normally going to be.
I was actually thinking of this on my drive over here,
mm-hmm.
Where I've noticed like some people are doing like destination Eid celebrations where like the last 10 days they'll go to a Muslim country
mm-hmm.
and, you know, spend their time doing more ibadah there, which is, I'm not going to fault you for it. I get it. Like, trust me, I want to do that too. But I totally see her point with this too.
See, so that's there's things you don't think about. And thankfully, we have some people with that, both perspectives.
For sure, for sure.
So, yeah, thank you again for commenting. I'm not going to say the name again.
Nadina or Nadine.
Nadina, yeah. So another comment I had here is, you know, related kind of to the gym thing that I was mentioning, is Rick June, 7365. He said, Assalamu alaikum. Wallah, there has to be Ramadan energy because I normally go to the gym around 4:30 a.m. and I have my three dates and tea as pre-workout and suhoor, and that's when I hit my PRs. PRs are like personal records. For the audience, okay? And and satisfying workouts. You're right. It's barakah, wallah. So that's actually something, I don't know if I already mentioned it, but like when I'm working out, yeah, like I feel like I have this like energy that comes out of nowhere. And maybe that is the barakah of Ramadan, or it most likely is the barakah of Ramadan. That's just it hitting you because, I don't know, there's something about it. So yeah, thank you again for commenting about that, Rick June. And last comment, this is a really long one, so I'm sorry, it's going to take a while. This is from Habitually Huda, a serial commentator, or commenter. And she wrote down, Assalamu alaikum. I just need to answer Amir's question real quick before I continue the video so I don't forget. So about breaking our fast at work as part of how it's going to be, I would say do not stress. I live in Norway, and a couple of years back, we broke our fast around 11 p.m., 11 p.m.
I can't imagine. That's when I go to sleep.
Oh, yo, we have one of our chassas out there. So, yeah, well, you know, I'm praying for her, man.
Well, she's close to it. She's not in Norway.
Oh, yeah. I guess, but isn't it like the same? I guess they're a little bit more north.
So, actually, in the summertime.
Yeah.
I think I told you, right? Like, the sun never fully sets.
Yeah, yeah. So, they have to follow, like, their closest city that has, like, normal hours, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then she wrote, these last years, it has been around 8 to 10 p.m., so inevitably we students and other late-night workers broke our fast at work. Mm-hmm. I can't talk about everyone, but alhamdulillah, I work at a big corporation, IKEA, and they let us get together, all the Muslims, in the cafeteria and even lay out something as to break our fast with, like cookies, fruit, cinnamon rolls. Nice. I know, right? Shout out to IKEA.
Yeah, right? Look at them.
Oh, when we usually have to pay for all that.
Yeah,
so they put that all out for free for them. And they send out Ramadan Mubarak to the company and ask them to remember that their Muslim colleagues are fasting and to be lenient with us. So yeah, again, shout out to IKEA for that. Even though it's difficult, it is actually beneficial, I've noticed. The days that we broke our fast with the other coworkers, it was very special. I got to know new people I didn't even know were Muslims and had been working with them for years. Granted, different departments, but still. And this Egyptian uncle that goes around serving everyone dates and another Somali brother letting us try Somali samosas. Our bond got so strong during those nights.
That is so cute. Alhamdulillah.
Yeah, so you don't think about that. Like, at least you might be at work, but now you can at least maybe experience it with a more international Muslim community, right?
Yeah.
Even though you might do that at the mosque, now you're doing that work and you're figuring out more about your Muslim coworkers, which is good, right? You should probably get to know your Muslim coworkers a lot more. Mm-hmm. So that's something that's actually very beneficial that we never thought about, right? And these days we break our fast on the commute. We're also special. Yes, we didn't get to socialize with family and the good food, but alhamdulillah, just the dates and the lunchbox on the bus made me so grateful for everything. So yeah, you have to be grateful for even the small like blessings that you have, right?
Yeah.
The fact that you're even able to,
I was just going to say that,
you know, give yourself some sustenance or break your fast with something, anything of your choice, right? That's not something that a lot of the people in the world, especially people in Gaza right now, have the choice to do. So even being thankful for that is a huge blessing. I had time to make serious dua, whereas at home, I'm busy preparing the table or cooking with mom. I'm looking at the desserts and surrounded by noise and everything. Yeah, so I guess when you're by yourself, you have more time to kind of do things that distractions wouldn't allow you to do.
There's a lot of benefit in solitude. Yeah,
so alhamdulillah for both opportunities. One last thing, in Iraq, they visit each other after iftar and have time to do tarawih, specifying the women. Men already do that. She's just saying, yeah, men already do that, but the women do that as well. And other things at night because they break their fast before us. So we have always been waiting for shorter days so we can actually do more. Socialize, iftar at the mosque, etc. Without worrying about being so late. So yeah,
As long as we plan good in Ramadan, Allah will fill it with barakah, inshallah, whether it's 4 p.m.
You
or
know,
11
we struggled a little bit, but you know, Sarah took it home for me, okay? But yeah, so I guess the overall point to get there is like just be grateful for any opportunity you have, and like
for
the fact that you are able to break your fast in good circumstances, or not good, like in like it, to break your fast
period,
yeah, right,
like with whatever you choose,
yeah,
you have sustenance,
exactly.
You have the ability to eat your food, digest your food, like these are all blessings that we take for granted every day. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I know that the general the vibe, the atmosphere of Ramadan this year. I think a lot of people started it with heavy hearts, given just the overall climate of what's happening in Palestine and Sudan. Like all of the Muslims that are being impacted this year, a lot of us feel that heavy heartedness. And so just remember, like, we never want to be so hopeless that we're like facing disparity every single day. You always want to have faith in your creator, right? Like Allah is the Lord of all the worlds. Like truly what we think is impossible is possible for him. So as long as you're grateful for the blessings and the endowments that you have and you continue to make dua, like you should never lose hope.
Yeah. And that's something I hope you guys can take away from this episode as well.
I hope so.
Yeah. So inshallah. Again, thank you guys for commenting.
Yeah.
If you guys have any opinions or want to reply to anything we said in this podcast, make sure to leave that in the comments as well. Other than that, make sure to subscribe to the channel. You know, we're trying to hit 10K, inshallah, or even 7K right now, inshallah, you know, and follow us on all our social medias, you know, Cousin Connection Pod on TikTok, Instagram, all those places. And inshallah, you have a very happy Eid.
Yeah.
Eid Mubarak.
Eid Mubarak.
And we'll see y'all next week.
Bye.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans.
$829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get 10 for $10 on select varieties of Kroger pasta, Starkist tuna pouches, or Powerade with your card. Then get 6-ounce packs of juicy raspberries or blackberries for $1.88 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.